Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by the Vacation Planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And if you want top-notch service and the best value for your vacation dollar, visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. Also brought to you by All-Star Vacation Homes, who offer you the highest quality in either a vacation home or condo. Hospitality has a new name, and it's All-Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hi, I'm Tanya Kaharski from Washington, New Jersey, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 172 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today and other points around the world. With me on the show, as always, is the one, the only, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, how are you?
I'm fine. I can't believe we're 170. I don't feel a day over 150, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and after a while, it's just a number.
So our shout-out today is to somebody. I don't even know if he listens to the show, but we're going to give him a shout-out anyway because it's a big deal if you are on the Mickey Milers running team. We are I think we're pushing 220 people now on the team. And we finally, through the efforts of our very dear friend Eddie McCoy, have a running shirt that has been designed by Michael Miller, Eddie, and Joe Terracani, who is working to produce our shirts. And they'll see us coming because they are bright yellow on the top and then purple on the bottom. So can't wait to get mine. Going to get a few and people can get their names on them and things like that. So it should be fun. So yay, Joe Terracani.
Special thanks to Joe. Special thanks to Eddie. Special thanks to Michael Miller. And
Say that if you don't know who Joe Terracani is, he's the host of The Marathon Show, and you should listen to it. It's a great podcast.
That's true. So today we are going to talk about an interesting topic. It's something that we had received a request to discuss it on Facebook, and what we decided to do is we decided to call in some experts in this area, and so we have with us today on the show our own Helen Dunn. Hello, Helen.
Hello. Glad to be here.
And race cheerleader extraordinaire Dave Allen. Hello, David.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Doing well. So what we're going to talk about is if it's possible and how to walk an entire half marathon or marathon. And we received a request, right, Michelle, on Facebook?
Mm-hmm. Actually, Helen kind of chimed in and opened the question up for everybody. So, Helen, do you remember the request? And can you kind of paraphrase?
Sure. I was actually listening, catching up on old episodes of the podcast, and somebody, I think her name was Stacy, had a question about walking the marathon. And then coincidentally, a person in my office asked me if it was possible to walk the Disney races. And I thought, yeah, absolutely you can. And I thought it seemed like a good reason to put it on the show and get it out there so everybody knows that you can do that. You don't have to run, walk, or run.
Mm-hmm. Great. So kind of the topic kind of evolved. And I think that there are people who are maybe intimidated by the idea of running, you know, running the whole race. And walking is a nice alternative. And you can definitely do it. So let's talk about how.
I think the first thing that comes to mind is that when we talk about walking or even running a Disney half or full, everyone thinks about the pace. And so the first question is it possible to walk at the required pace to finish a Disney half marathon or marathon in the required time? And the answer is,
Yes.
So I guess the first thing I would like to ask Helen and Dave is that if you had aspirations of doing such a thing, that is walking a half marathon, a marathon race, where would you start in your training? What would you set as far as goals? How would you go about preparing yourself to do that?
I guess I can start. I would say you would start the same way you've been helping people train for half marathons or marathons running. You know, it starts with the first steps out, training maybe for your first race, a 5K, building up to a 10K, and, you know, really learning what your pace is, what you're comfortable at, and going from there.
That's a good point. Helen?
No, I think Dave's right. You know, you just have to, you know, pick an event and decide that you're going to get ready for it. But what I think is important is to think about how you want to approach the race and whether you want to be a speed walker or if you're going to be a more casual walker. And that will kind of dictate what kind of events, walking events, that you want to participate in.
So we have to keep in mind that there is a 16-minute per mile pace at Disney races, you know, give or take what regard it depends on what corral you're starting in. You know, it is 16-minute mile. What I'd be interested in is for each of you to kind of tell us what races that you walked and maybe how you prepared for it. So can we start with Dave? Dave, I think you said that you had walked a half marathon, at least one.
Sure. I walked the first half marathon I participated in was the 2013 Walt Disney World half marathon. And a week after that, I did the Tinkerbell half marathon. And then a year later, I did my third and so far final half marathon. But in preparation for it, my wife Holly put me on a training program that would be pretty similar to what a runner would go through. There's 3 days of weekday runs, and then on the weekend, I would have a longer, you know, I'm calling it run, but they're really walks. I would have a longer walk to build up, and I think that was like about a 8 to 10 week program that she made for me.
So you're doing exactly what runners would do in terms of getting out there often. It's not an easier route. It's just a different route to get there.
Exactly. In the first couple of weeks, maybe my weekday exercises would be 2 to 3 miles, and then it would build up at the end to 4 to 5 miles. My weekend activity was anywhere from 4 miles up to 10 miles.
So may I ask why you decided that you didn't want to run, that walking would be a better option for you?
For me, with my heart issues, I tend to, if I run or even jog, I'll push my heart rate up a little higher than it should be. So I got to kind of keep it under the radar.
That sounds like a good plan. And your doctor approved your walking.
Exactly. As long as I can keep within what is the 85%, you know, mark of the maximum for my age, he said it, he's good with it.
Dave, when you did this training, did you find yourself trying to maintain a steady pace from beginning to end? Or did you have, I guess we could call them intervals where you would speed up a little bit and then, you know, drop back and rest? What worked for you?
Yeah, I think when I first started out, I was trying to maintain an average pace, just kind of stay as consistent as I could. And then after I got in a couple weeks, I found I was negative splitting. So doing, you know, faster on my back halves than I was the first half of the walk. And then eventually I started getting some shin splints, and I really didn't want that happening on half marathon day. So what I ended up doing was kind of thinking to myself, okay, I want to average around a 14-minute mile. So what I'll do for the first couple miles is try to hit a 14 and a half minutes so that my legs are out there, they're warmed up, and then kind of ratchet it down to a 13 and a half to 14 minute for the back half. And that seemed to work for me the first two times.
That's pretty awesome. Okay, I want to follow up and ask you some more, but let's get over to Helen for a second and ask her to describe. So have you walked a half or a full or both?
I have walked both. And I'll admit my very first event that I did was a marathon. I went right from couch to marathon, which is easier to do when you're walking than running, or at least it's less intimidating.
Your first event ever, a race, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, wow. You're not going to mess around.
Yeah, it was insane. I mean, I recognize that now that it was a little crazy, But the reason that I even considered doing it was because it was walking. And you know, Michelle, that I'm a bookworm, and I was at the library and Team in Training was there recruiting for their team. And, you know, I had no interest in running a marathon, but they said they had one that was only for walkers and it was in Bermuda. And I thought,
whoa,
you know, I can do that.
Check and check.
Yeah. So I took this enormous leap of faith and signed up to do it. And it was a long program. I think it was a 28-week training program. But, you know, it really, it literally changed my life. But I would have never considered it if I had to consider running that far.
And
I've walking.
I've had the pleasure of meeting your sisters. And I guess you have a reputation in your family of somebody who maybe would not be a runner. So it really did change your life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was probably like the most important day, really, you know, quick decision, but it really has changed the last dozen years of my life in amazing ways.
So was your training like Dave's, where you were going out 2 days a week and having shorter runs and then maybe a long weekend run or walk? I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly like that. Two or three walks a week. And then we would meet as a group and do longer walks together and all the way up to 21 miles.
So for both of you, it sounds like when everybody is training for a race, they're looking at their times. But do you think that you were paying more attention and maybe using your Garmin or your training watch to make sure that you were coming in under that 16-minute mile?
More, I was.
More than anybody else? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I started doing this long enough ago that I didn't even have a Garmin. I didn't even know that Garmins existed. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have that pushing me, but coincidentally, the walking coach of the group I was with was a real race walker that follows like the race walking rules in the Olympics. And he was a serious athlete and he trained Olympic athletes. So he was always focusing on, you are here to be an athlete. You're not here to stroll in the park. You are here to like work out and push yourself. And he taught us a lot of technique and he really hammered into us, you know, that you have to really focus on that goal and, you know, stay under the limit and you should try to improve yourself and do as best you can because it is a, you know, quote unquote race.
That's great. Thank you. So I want to go back to Dave and move to your first Disney race. And did you see any other walkers? How did you feel being a walker amongst, well, I mean, they're walkers and runners and walk runners. So did you feel okay? Or, cause I know like many people, you train on your own or maybe with one other person, you get to a Disney race and there are thousands of people there. And I know that I often feel self-conscious about, you know, the way that I'm running or walking. So I'm wondering do you remember how you felt about walking through that race?
Yeah, I was comfortable walking the race. I didn't feel intimidated being a walker. You know, most people at points on the race are walkers. And then there are some points on the course, like Kona Alley, you can't do anything but walk.
Right.
So it really wasn't a big deal. And I've been in some 5Ks here in Chicago area that have had 35 to 40,000 people in them. So I've seen the crowds and being a spectator, you know, I've seen the Disney half marathon in full, you know, like three times before I actually participated. So I had a pretty good idea of what to expect from that aspect.
Oh, that's good. What about you, Helen? Well, you were training as a walker and you were training with other walkers, how did you feel for your first race?
Well, for my first race, it was only walkers. So there was no intimidation factor at all because we were all doing the same thing. So that was not a big deal. But when I came back to, you know, the real world where it's a mix of runners and walkers, it was a little intimidating at first because, you know, you are pretty far at the back of the pack. And at one half marathon, my first half marathon that I ever did, I was like stalked by the ambulance because I was one of the very last finishers. So it was, you know, it was a learning experience. And then after a while, you know, you just had to own the fact that I was doing the best that I could do. And I was proud of what I was doing because I was improving and getting faster. And I just was okay with it. And I enjoyed it so much that, you know, kind of being alone in the back didn't bother me.
I think one of the most important things that you both have said is to me, you know, I haven't walked these races, but just the idea that you have to follow a training program just as if you were running this. And you have to be diligent and you have to make sure that you're timing yourself too.
Absolutely.
I have a question for Helen. Helen, you've also run these races. So I wanted to ask you, at the end of a race, if you've walked – Let's say you had a half marathon and you walked the entire distance, and then the next time you did run, walk, run, or run the whole thing. Can you describe the energy output for each, and more importantly, which of the two modes of doing that race drains you? Is it tougher to do the walking, or is it tougher to do the run, walk, run?
That's a really interesting question, because when I was walking marathons, it was so new to me that I think every one was difficult. But the more you do it, the better you get at it and the better you feel. And I think that the more your body has experienced that kind of distance, it recovers more quickly from it. So now I think I have to really push myself to my like PR level to really feel sore for a long time after a race. And I think that was true when I was walking too. I think it's a matter of how far you're pushing your body, not really whether you're pushing it to walk or run. So like now, if I went out to walk a marathon, I would probably be really beat up from it, because my body is not used to walking and it's right. used to running, and it feels entirely different to walk for long distance versus to run for long distance.
Right. That's a good answer. Dave, I wanted to ask you, if you were to give someone some advice on starting out, would you be able to point out to them the toughest part about starting this training and what type of challenges they would come up against, and how best to meet those challenges?
Sure. I would say the toughest part of starting this is, you know, just the discipline for training. Not many of us who, you know, endeavor to go out and start walking a half marathon, you know, are used to putting in miles of the training to do so. You know, we think, okay, you know, I walk around the store, I walk at work, or, you know, I might have to walk to the bus stop or something. No big deal. But, you know, to do it consistently for the amount of time and the distance that you're out there, it does take a discipline to learn. And, you know, you have to change your habits a little bit along the way. When Holly first took me out to walk a 5K for the first time, I just made a, you know, 15 and a half minute mile pace, I believe. And, you know, now a couple of years later, you know, I'm in the, you know, 12 and a half minute pace for like a 5K per mile. So there's discipline you build up, and you just got to keep at it.
That's amazing. That's amazing that you can walk that fast, Dave. I'm lucky if I can walk 18-minute miles when I'm walking. When I do my walk, run, when I go out and do my training, I always warm up with a 5-minute walk, and I'm looking at my watch, and it's like, okay, maybe if I'm lucky, I'll do 18. But usually I'm between 18 and 20 minutes per mile. So I'm really in awe of how fast you can go.
Well, Michelle? Thank you.
Did you mean Helen?
No, actually,
well, you can be in awe
actually,
of
Helen.
Too.
No, I'm always in awe of Helen. But I guess we should ask Helen, how fast have you been able to, how fast of a pace have you been able to maintain over that distance?
My fastest marathon that I did was a 5:58, and I just figured it out. That's a 13:39 pace.
And that was walking. Wow.
And that was it was interesting. My first marathon, it took me almost 7 hours. It was like 6:52, I think. And my second marathon I did in 5:58. That was about a year later.
Wow.
I did a 13:20 for the half in January.
That's really cool.
So just one follow up. So what's the secret to increasing your pace?
My number one tip I always tell people is you have to use your arms. They don't want to use their arms.
Yes.
No, because everybody's like, oh, I'm going to look like a geeky race walker. And you will, but you're going to get a lot faster.
Dave, what about you? What's your secret?
I don't know if it's a secret. I did change shoes last year. I was in the high support shoes, the Brooks Beast, or the Yeah, the beast. And then I got switched to neutrals. And within a week, I dropped 15 seconds on my pace. So, you know, we all talk about footwear. Footwear does help. And having the right footwear helped me out. The other thing is, you know, I think you brought up on the Facebook page a couple of weeks ago how your natural running pace per mile has decreased a little bit here and there. Same thing has happened for me walking for the past 2.5 years. I find, you know, one day I might just, you know, lose 5 seconds and have been able to maintain that, you know, going through. And then, you know, the next cycle happens. So I think it's just you keep working at it and the consistency and it comes off.
That's it. So Helen, go ahead.
I was going to throw one other thing in that I always remembered from this coach guy I had 10 years ago. He would say, like, next time you're out walking, just walk and just like you normally would. And you'll notice your feet are parallel to one another. And when you start, if you start concentrating and try to roll your foot like all the way from heel to toe and start really concentrating on that, you'll start to speed up and you'll notice that your feet come into alignment and your heel kind of lands in front of your toes the faster you get. And your gait kind of, I don't know how it changes exactly, but it when you roll off your feet, it makes you faster and your legs come together, your hips get more into it, and you just zoom along in a much different way.
So do you do that for your Galloway walk breaks?
Not usually. I really don't. I mean, I do that if I'm trying to walk fast or if I'm trying to, you know, run to my fast pass time, I will walk like that. But generally, when I'm run walking, I just kind of walk naturally. Although I do hear that I walk faster than other people just when I just regular walk.
So, Dave, if you had a bit of advice, if somebody thought that they wanted to start training to walk a half marathon, what would be, is there a place that you would send them, or what advice would you give them to start off?
I'd send them to Holly, but I don't think they had that option. You know, she put together the program for me. I guess, you know, if they haven't done a stitch of walking before, you know, probably a catch to 5K would help. And maybe getting a watch or using their iPhone or something, just something that they could clock their progress. So it would help them build their confidence to know, okay, if I add another mile, can I maintain this? So if they have Disney in mind, you know, figure out, you know, what would be the best course of action to maybe find a training program. Maybe something else online. I don't know if a Hal Higdon or a Galloway program might work for them as well. You know, because you could probably Galloway a walking program as well for yourself.
Because, I mean, we're talking about endurance and being able to go for several hours walking.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, you have to build up that endurance. Holly, what about you? I'm sorry. Helen, what about you? We were just talking about Holly. Helen, what advice would you give people who wanted to start off in a walking program for, well, let's just say, for the sake of argument, for a half marathon?
I agree with Dave, you know, try to look and read just about marathons or half marathons in general, because so much of it is similar, you know, the nutrition and all of that kind of stuff is all the same, whether you're walking or running. But I would also do some Googling. I know there are sites out there called Walking a Marathon, and Walk Like an Athlete is the guy who trained me. And there are definitely a lot of web pages out there that will talk about walking programs and that are geared specifically towards walkers. And I know there's a great book out there called Marathon Walking, because I've read that too.
That's cool. And are you going to let me know when there's another race in Bermuda?
They still have the running marathon, but they don't have the walking marathon anymore. It was a great race, but it was hilly, surprisingly.
I did a 10K in Jamaica a couple years ago while Holly did the marathon, and that gave me the same time limit for the 10K that she had for the marathon.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, maybe folks, if they are interested in, you know, something like that, like Big Sur last weekend had a 9-mile and a 10.6-mile race that did have 6-hour time limits. So, you know, good way to start building the confidence up in races like that.
And take the pressure off.
Exactly.
I like that.
I have one last question for both Dave and Helen. Dave, I'd like you to comment first, and then Helen. When you're doing a long-distance race and you're doing it entirely walking, would it behoove you to, in the course of your training, do a lot of upper body strength conditioning, because it seems to me that when you do that type of activity for a long period of time, you really need your arms to swing, and you need that upper body strength. So would you recommend that to anyone who would be starting such a program? First Dave and then Ellen?
Sure. I've never done that, so I would say go for it. As far as me, I would say I'm not that much of an arm swinger, really, when I walk. Maybe the right arm, because, you know, I have kind of my crutch, my Linus blanket of a water bottle that I have my hand through.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, that's always pretty much like, even with me, like I'm holding a cup of coffee. And I really don't know if I swing my arms much. I think I do, because sometimes I pull my iPhone cord out. So my headphones are out, but I would
think
it would
do unplug it while you're walking.
Mm-hmm. I mean, strength training can benefit people in any way, shape, or form. So I would say it's probably not a bad idea, that it would just add a little more endurance for you.
Helen, what about you? What do you think?
Again, I'm the slacker plan, so of course I don't do any strength training, even though I think it would be great if you did it. But I will say that, yeah, if you are doing an arm swing, and I want to clarify, like when I say arm swing, I mean like back and forth, almost like a choo-choo train, not like side to side flailing. But yeah, your shoulders and everything, and this is true in running too, like the more you run, you can feel your shoulders getting up and up and up and up and tensing up. So you do need to be conscious of relaxing them and kind of stretching out as you're going. And I'm sure, like, if you have a better core and you have better strength all over, you'd probably perform better.
So I think that pretty much tells everybody that you can do that. And we have two people here who have proven that they can walk pretty fast and they can do those distances. Before we go, I had introduced Dave as a cheerleading expert in these races, because Holly, his wife, has run in about how many states by now, Dave?
22, 23, 24, somewhere in that range.
I think it's 23.
And she's going to get 50 by 50, right?
Yep, exactly. I think she'll make it.
And so along the way, Dave has figured out, you know, how to go about cheering for his wife, Holly, and he actually has an ebook out there. And Dave, I'd love for you to tell everybody what that book is all about and where they can find it.
Thanks. Yeah, the book is Race Chase, Expert Guide to Senior Runner on Marathon Day, and it's at racechasebook.com, or you can also find it at our other website, TeamTizzle, TIZZEL.com.
And you can follow Helen at slackerrunner.com, right?
I should book that.
You should.
I'm
going
to look to see if that's available right now.
I was sitting here thinking she has to like trademark that term, because you use it all the time to describe yourself.
I do.
Slacker runner. Thank you both so much for coming on. Always a pleasure to have an excuse to speak to you and to pick your brain, because you guys have so much expertise in so many areas. So thanks.
And I'm sure we'll see both of you sometime during the course of the year or whatever. So we're looking forward to that. So for Helen Dunn, for Dave Allen, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we will see you walking on the road. This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes. If you are looking for the highest quality vacation home or condo for your next Walt Disney World vacation, then you need to visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com, where hospitality has a new home. And by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, nobody can give you better service and get more for your vacation dollar than the vacation planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. So for your next Disney or non-Disney vacation, visit them at MEI-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at Mickey Miles Podcast.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.